artists of really taking up from what we had discussed yesterday. So it's not really out of order at all. But it happened to be, I'll start with something I discovered accidentally. And I was looking on my shelf last night. I have a sefer that was written by Rabbi Chalap's son, Rabbi Zev Wolf Chalap Shlita, the son of Rabbi Zvolun Chalap Shlita, has a sefer of Shavos and Tshuvas called Chikrei Zev. And there he happens to have two tshuvos about Pidyon HaBen, which again I was not looking for, but it happens to be that it just noticed it really connects to what we were talking about yesterday. And especially the first one, but we'll mention the second one also, where he addresses the question of the bracha of Shehecheyanu. So if you recall, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim had a suffix about who is it who should recite the Shehecheyanu. We know that the first bracha is the bracha of the father, but what about the second bracha? And there you find that there is an interesting discussion to be had, that we talked yesterday about the whole possibility that the Kohen should be the, what's the word, Meshachianu? You know how you say that somebody makes the Shehecheyanu, the Meshachach. So the idea that the Kohen should be the one making the bracha, what does that reflect about his role in the mitzvah? And if you recall, we also discussed the likelihood that the Gemara is not talking about a Shehecheyanu in a different category, such as on the occasion of receiving the gift, or receiving the monetary benefit here, because a number of reasons why it doesn't seem to flow well with the reading of the Gemara. So in this tshuva of Rabbi Chalap's, so he starts off with a different premise, because he mentions there that somebody had asked him, that he was told the name of the Chassam Sofer, this person, that when a Kohen does a Pidyon HaBen, that a Kohen should have intent to be Yotze with the Shehecheyanu of the father. In other words, that the Shehecheyanu really is a responsibility of the Kohen too, and it's just that once the father is making it, he should have in mind to be Yotze. So therefore, the suffix in the Gemara isn't really who makes the Shehecheyanu, who's chayiv in the Shehecheyanu here. But the assumption is that they're both chayiv in Shehecheyanu. And the question is, who should be the one to be motzi the other? So this Kohen said to Rabbi Chalap, he said, it's a big surprise to him, because he has done many pidyons, and many great rabbanim were present at the time, and no one ever said to him, by the way, pay careful attention to the Shehecheyanu, that you should be yotze with that too. And he never heard this from his father, who clearly was a Kohen too. So how come no one's makbid on this? So Rabbi Chalap goes through the issue, and he notes that he say that this was said in the name of the Chassam Sofer. It says indeed it's in the Chassam Sofer's Tshuvas. And it's quoted by the Netziv. The Netziv, his Shiltos, discusses this Gemara, and he works off the assumption here that the Kohen should be making a Shehecheyanu for receiving the money. But that's the basis of his potential chiyuv. And the question in the Gemara is, who is being motzi who? And then he makes reference to the Chassam Sofer's Tshuvas, that indeed the idea is that the father is being motzi the Kohen. And he notes that it's also not just the Chassam Sofer and not just the Netziv, but the Chassam Sofer's son, the Chassam Sofer, has a tshuva where he says the same thing, but doesn't quote his father. But he has the same idea, as does Rav Shlomo Kluger. And that's also the implication of the Rashash in that Gemara himself. So it sounds like there's a group of Achronim that understands that really there is a mitzvah on the Kohen too. There's a mitzvah of Achiyu Shehecheyanu of his own. And even the Laskana, that the only reason he's not making it is not because he's not shaykh to the Shehecheyanu, but because he's Yotze through the father. So Rabbi Chalap then goes on to point out, though, that it's a question whether that's true halacha l'maisa, because there is a Mishnah in Bechoros and Daf and Tes, which discusses a very sad situation. Let's say there is a Bechor that is lives past the age of 30 days, but then passes away afterwards. So, it's again, a very sad situation. The father still has to do the pidyon anyway, because the chiyuv had already come. So, Tosfos over there has a suffix. Tosfos in Tess and Bechoros has a suffix. If the father is doing this pidyon aben for a son who's no longer alive, should he still make a shechianim? Should we say that, okay, he still has the mitzvah, but on the other hand, it's clearly a very tragic and emotional situation, so should he make a shechianu anyway? So Tosfos has a suffix about this. Lahalacha, the Rama writes that the father does the pidyon aben and makes a bracha, but does not make a shechianu. So there, the Bir Hagra, the Vilna Gaon, explains that he doesn't make a bracha because of Safek Brachos L'Hakel, apparently because of this Tosfos, that raises the issue that maybe he should make the Shachianu under those circumstances, so leave it out. So asks Rabbi Zev Chalap, well, okay, so the father won't make a Shachianu, but then maybe we should say that the Kohen has to make a Shachianu. If he has a chiyuv and the father is not being most to him, so maybe he should have to do that. So Maisa, we don't find anybody pointing that out over there. So he knows that this seems to be Akasha and all these who have these views. And halacha l'maisa, he does note that this certainly isn't the minig. Why it's not the minig, it's a question that's explicitly discussed in some of these forums. For example, we mentioned Rav Shlomo Kluger has his position also, but he also goes on to note that this is not the practice and tries to explain why it hasn't become the practice. But theoretically, maybe there is some basis to it. But again, halacha l'maisa, he would say he wouldn't tell a Kohen who didn't have kavanah during the Shechianu that he should go and make it on his own. That far we wouldn't go because it doesn't seem to be enough basis to say that. Hi.
Why would there come? Meaning, I understand the Torah says he should, but usually there's like some kind of reason or meaning. It's not that every time you get a money, you should be on.
Oh, okay. So that's the question. So that's part of what we mentioned yesterday was the question, and that's also a question discussed in some of these forums as well. So why is this hana mechayev him more than other hanas that don't necessarily make that threshold? So here's where, and this is actually, you're segueing just to the point I want to close on in terms of mentioning this, that the assumption that the Nesiv had and others had was that the issue was because he's getting some benefit, so therefore he should make a Shechianu because of that. But that opens up the question, well, why don't we find that by other Matnas Kahuna? Or maybe we should say it by other Matnas Kahuna, which is a discussion you also find in some of these farm here. So l'maisa, the question is whether the Gemara means that at all. So he closes off by noting, and this is what kind of brings it back into our discussion yesterday, that the tzlach on the Gemara of Pesachim, the Note of Yehuda, his commentary on the Gemara of tzlach, the Note of Yehuda was the great Hosek of Prague, Eskalando, so he's known for three svarim. He wrote, he's named after Hishalos and Chubas, the Note of Yehuda. But he also wrote a sefer commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. It's called the Dagul Mervava. And he wrote a sefer on the Gemara called the Tzlach. So what does Tzlach mean? Right. Tziyun l'nefesh chaya. So it was in memory of his mother. So he wrote Noda Yehuda in memory of his father. It was Noda because of his father Yehuda. And he wrote the Tzlach, Tziyun l'nefesh chaya, in memory of his mother Chaya. So Rav Shechter, here, if you're at the Chagas Micha, made reference to Rav Shechter and his parents. So Rav Shechter did the same thing. I believe his mother's name is also Chaya. So in the Sefer Eretz Tzvi, he has a section there also by that same title that makes reference to the same kind of concept. So the Tzlach and Shas, the Tzlach and Pesachim, says that the Hana that's referenced in the Gemara in Pesachim, when the Gemara has a Safek about who should make the Shachianu, and the Gemara says maybe it should be the Kohen, because Hamati Hana Liyade, the Hana reaches him. So he explains that it doesn't mean that, oh, he gets Hana, so he should make a bracha because he's so happy for the Hana. But the Gemara is saying that Lemaisa, since the end of the process is his receiving the Sloim, so the question is, maybe that constitutes the end of the mitzvah, and maybe therefore, as far as the mitzvah is concerned, he should be the one making the bracha because he's closing off the process of the mitzvah. So again, this brings it back into where we were discussing yesterday, that maybe that's the structure here, that it is the Kohen and the father together doing this transaction, and therefore they're both somewhat shy to the mitzvah. This, I think, is a point he also discusses, that otherwise you have a problem, because if you're going to say that the father is being motzi the Kohen stam, and it's two different types of shechianu, the father is making a bracha on the mitzvah, and the Kohen is making a bracha on his happiness for receiving some extra gel, so then they're not happening at the same time. The father is going to do it before the mitzvah, over lasiyasa, and the Kohen really gets his hanoah later. He should make his bracha then. So it's not clear why the shechianu should work at the same time if those are the factors here. So unless you want to say, which is again more consistent with what we've been saying, that really, no, it's not two separate chiyuvim of shechianu. It's one shechianu on the mitzvah. And the question is, where should we put the shechianu? Meaning both at what stage in the process, and in whose mouth? Should it be the Kohen or should it be the father? At what point is the shechianu more fitting, and who should be the one to say? Now, parenthetically, even if you did want to say that the Kohen shechianu was about something else, you could theoretically tolerate that and also tolerate the fact that it's at a different point. Because you could say, like some sources say, that even when there are various reasons for a shechianu, if it's all attached to one thing, we don't make more than one shechianu. So it could be that in a chanami, the Kohen is coming from a different angle, and really, ideally, it would have been at a different point. But since there already is a shechianu associated with the mitzvah, so we're not going to impose a second one on him, even if it would have meant that it should have been a few minutes later, a few seconds later. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so that's the first of the two chuvas that Rabbi Chalat has about Pidgin Abed. The second one is a little less obviously connected to this, but I think it's interesting to consider as well. It's also, I guess, a little bit relevant to Minyan of the Yoma. So Rabbi Zev Chalaf starts off with another story in a second tshuva, that he went to a Pidgin Abed, he was invited to, some friends invited him to a Pidgin Abed, and he was horrified at what he saw there, because he saw that standing there at the front of the room was the parents of the baby and a woman. And they then proceeded with the Pidgin Abed, with this woman reciting the formula and ready to receive the slide. So he was so horrified, he said he walked out even during the bracha and said he's going to try to figure out what's happening. But before he walked out, so he says that he asked the rabbi was there, and he said to him, what's going on? So how come it's a female Kohen up there? So the rabbi said, because the Tosfos in Kedushin. The Tosfos in Kedushin that says that a daughter of a Kohen, or a Kohenes, can also receive the Pidgin Aben money, and therefore, why should you be firmer than Tosfos, essentially how he quotes it, why should you be more exclusionary of the women than Tosfos is, and don't object. So he thought very much he should object, and he left, and he then went and wrote the tshuva about this. So first of all, what's the Tosfos in Kedushin? Now, where does Tosfos in Kedushin say this? So it's not on our daf, it's earlier, it's on Daf Ches, the Tosfos that he's talking about, but it's a Gemara. We didn't get up to Daf Ches, but it's about a Gemara that we've referenced a few times, so we're probably familiar with the Gemara. The Gemara that talked about Rav Kahana, who accepted a sudra for Pidgin Abed, and the Gemara says that it wasn't necessarily worth five sloim, but the hymn was worth Five lines. You might remember this Gemara we talked about in the context of Shavu Kesef Kekesef, probably a few other times. So Tosfos here at the end of Chesam Aleph, let's take a look. So Tosfos Rav Kahana Shakol Sidru Pidgin Aben. So Rav Kahana sounds like a Kohen, right? Sounds like a Kohen name. And especially, so you have these two details that his name is Kahana, and he's accepting Pidgin Aben. So he sounds pretty Kohanic. He sounds pretty priestly. But says Tosfos, Mash Mahachad of Kahana Hayakohen. Seems like he is a Kohen. B'tayim at the Masayif Sof Perik Eil Over, the Gemara Pesach HaMash V'Goloi, a Kohen, the Kohen, we're allowed to receive a Kohen, the Goloi. That, he says, his only schus there is that he married a Kohenis. So that he is apparently not a Kohen. So what's going on? If he's not a Kohen, then how come he is starring in a Pidgin Aben in this story? So V'yesh Lomar says, Tosfos, the Treyer of Kahana Ha. So one answer is that there are two Rav Kahanas. It's not the only Rav Kahana, so that Gemara is talking about a different one, and this one is talking about one who happens to be a Kohen. Inami, or if you want, I'll say, Yesh Lomar B'Shvil Ishto HaYelokeach, that maybe he was accepting on behalf of his wife, Kid Eshkechan B'Parek HaZroa, Rav Kahana Ocho B'Shvil Ishto. That maybe his wife indeed is a Kohen, like that other Gemara implied, and therefore he is able to accept on behalf of his wife. So apparently this is the Tosfos that was the basis for that ceremony to say, okay, you see that the daughter of a Kohen can also function as a Kohen for a Pidgin Aben. So what do you think happened? Did the Bechalab say, okay, you did Tzchuni, you're right? Or is that not the end of the story? Morty?
One thing that is only Yesh Lomar, and
also
the point is that she didn't do it, but her husband did. Oh,
so that's it. I think that's been compelling also. And it's interesting that he doesn't actually talk about that detail in the truth. But I don't want to be able to finish myself. It's interesting because I think that's perhaps even more relevant. So I want to come back to that. I think both of your points are definitely noteworthy. So he only mentions the first one. So he says that first of all, to say this is a basis for practice of Halacha L'Maisa is very weak. He says, because first of all, Tosfos themselves don't necessarily agree with this because it is only one day. Tosfos has two answers, and in fact, it's the second answer. So you can figure out just how compelling that is. And it's explicit in many other Rishonim, not this way. So to rely on a Tosfos against a lot of other Rishonim that explicitly say that it goes to a Zachar, and especially when the Tosfos itself has two days, so that's a very weak basis for practice of Halacha L'Maisa. And you know, then it goes on to talk about what he thinks about this whole innovation, what he thinks about the motives. You can imagine, you can read it inside. But he's not a fan of this whole story. And he said it doesn't work even with the Eved, and they'd have to have a Pidgin Aben again afterwards, and is very unhappy about this. So what I think is particularly interesting is just to consider two points that also just connect to what we were talking about yesterday that would connect to this issue also. So first of all, so wrapped up in this whole discussion, we see there's a reference here in this Tosfos to the Gemara in Chulin about Matnas Kahuna, the question of that story of Kahana is brought there in the context of a few different opinions about whether Matnas Kahuna can go to the daughter of a Kohen. And even if, like in Akamara, that she is married to Yisrael, so that's what is going on with Kahana, he's accepting Matnas Kahuna on behalf of his wife. So one question to ask is, are we so sure that Matnas Kahuna and Pidgin Aben are in the same category? And that was something we discussed yesterday, that maybe it's a difference, that maybe Matnas Kahuna are simply a monetary schus that the Kohanim get, and therefore maybe you could argue that that could go also to the Shevet, the Kahuna, through the daughters, even after they're married to Yisraelim. So that's one question to ask. Is it like that, or like we discussed the other day, maybe no, that maybe the idea of Pidgin Aben is something different. It is a transaction in the mitzvah of Pidgin, rather than simply paying off something, and therefore maybe it's not so well productive. There's a connection, and we discussed differences possibly, or at least differences that some of the later sources propose, such as most notably the question of whether you can give it to a Kohen Bachur, right? Give it to a Kohen against his will. So the assumption that they have the same status is not necessarily mukhrach in and of itself, but that goes to the question again of what exactly is the process of pidgin event. Now, Morty's point is also very well taken, and it's interesting that that's not discussed in that tshuva, because it seems to me to be particularly relevant, that, yeah, it doesn't say here that his wife did the pidgin event on his behalf. It says that he did the pidgin haben, or they will have a wife did the pidgin haben on her own behalf, rather, but that he did the pidgin haben on his wife's behalf. So the assumption that that's not a relevant detail seems to be assuming that it's basically the same as matnas kohanim. It's just about you have to get this to the kohen, so, or maybe the kohenes. So if you give it to the kohenes' husband, so it's going to her also. But if we assume that there is more to pidgin haben than receiving the sloyim, so then it's not at all so obvious that just because this Tosus, and maybe this Gemara, according to Tosus, this Gemara is talking about if Kahana taking a pidgin haben because of his wife's Kohenis status, that therefore the Kohenis herself could also be mekayim this mitzvah, that's not so obvious. And it's particularly noteworthy also that the way the Torah describes the mitzvah of pidgin haben in Parshas Korach, there is a tzivoy which is directed to the Kohen. So if there's a mitzvah to the Kohen to participate in this process, so it's a big chiddush to assume that it's not just the Kohen, it's the Kohenis also. That requires a lot more. So to go halacha l'maisa and to have a female Kohen based on this Tosfos seems to have a lot of major problems with it. But what we're most interested in for the purpose of our sugya is the problem that Rav Chalap does not point out. And the biggest problem is whether or not he discusses whether the Rishonim agree with this Tosfos. Second, whether Tosfos himself agrees with Tosfos. But even more, let's say this Tosfos is 100%, and let's say this was the das of everyone. How do we know that the fact that Rav Kahana could play the role of a Kohen means that a Isha could play the role of a Kohen? That seems to be a pretty big question, and goes again to the issue of what is the role of the Kohen. Okay, so with that, let's say a little bit more. So the question of between the father and the son, so whose mitzvah really is the pidgin haben? Should we say the pidgin haben, it's really a chiyuv on the son, and it's just the father takes care of it because it is not shayach for the son to do it himself? Or should we say that no, that really this is a chiyuv on the father, and it's primarily his mitzvah, his responsibility? So as we mentioned when we read through the Gemara first, so we saw that the fact that these Gemaras bring up various scenarios seem to test this question. So let's look at the line of the Gemara again. The bottom of Chof Tes Amud Aleph. Second line from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Who liftos? Uvano liftos. So let's say the father needs a pidgin haben, and his son also needs a pidgin haben. Who kodum livno? So according to the first opinion, Tanakama, he is prioritized over his son. He comes first. This, by the way, you should know, is a Mishnah in Bechoros, just to be aware. So, according to the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, he comes first. And Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Beno Kodmo. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the son takes priority. Why? Shezeh mitzvaso alaviv, vizeh mitzvah Beno alav. Because the father, his mitzvah, is really on his own father. And it's his son's mitzvah that is on him. Fine, that's a different point. So according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the idea is that because the obligation is really on the father, in the father's case, his obligation is on his own father, and in the son's case, the obligation is on him. So therefore, he should pay more attention to being poda his son than being poda himself. So, according to that svara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it seems clear that the nature of the chiyuv of pidyon haben is really on the father. It's not just the son's mitzvah that the father is doing because the son can't do it himself, but it's the father's mitzvah. So the question is, first of all, do we paskin like that? Do we accept that position? So what's the din in Shulchan Aruch? Who comes first? I think we put this on the cover. So who's the din in Shulchan Aruch? So we paskin actually that the father comes first. Correct. So the question is, does that refute the svar? So this line of Yehuda's position that was based on the idea that the mitzvah is to the father, which led him to say you should be called to the son first. So if we pass and you're called to the father first, does that mean we reject Rabbi Yehuda's svar? Yes, Morty?
No, based on the Kedushin of
Gemara. Okay, so the Kedushin of Gemara, which the Rush points out. Yes, yeah, you want to say, go on.
It qualifies the case to be where there is five lean points mm-hmm. and five free points.
Mm-hmm.
The Shulchan doesn't necessarily differentiate between
the cases. Since that case is itself a very specific case, it doesn't necessarily show us what the implications are of the halacha in general. But I thought you were going to mention also the fact that the Gemara also tells us the svara of mitzvah de gufei adif, that maybe the mitzvah that's about him takes priority. So it could be, like the Rosh points out, that we prefer that svara, but it doesn't mean that the other svara isn't true. Or Yehuda's position that the mitzvah is an obligation on the father of the child might still be true. And it may also be the case that it's simply the fact that the father's chiyuv for himself is an older chiyuv, and therefore maybe the chiyuv that came first should take place first, but it doesn't necessarily reject the svara of mitzvahs b'no Allah. So indeed, there are a number of Rishonim and Achronim who conclude this way, the Rashba and the Tshuva, and the Vilna Gaon and others maintain that that is the case, that the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah on the father. And even after the son grows up, it's still true that the mitzvah is primarily on the father, that it's his obligation. While others disagree, and the Rivash, the Shuvah that we mentioned yesterday, the day before, so that seems to disagree because he brings a raya from the Lashon of the Bracha, that since the Bracha is Al, and Al is usually used for a mitzvah that's performed through somebody else, so therefore that seems to indicate that there is a chiyuv differential between the father and the son, because when the son does it, he uses a more direct language of law, liftos, and the father uses the language of al pidyon haben. So, doesn't that show you, says the Rivash, that it's really the son's chiyuv and not the father's chiyuv? So, it could be, but there are also other explanations of the language of al, and they don't necessarily all point in that direction. So the question of just how compelling that proof from Al is a little bit of an open discussion. So Rabbi Schlesinger, we mentioned yesterday, so he had a discussion about this, where he notes on the one hand, you have a number who take this position, that the mitzvah of the pidyon haben is really the father's obligation towards the son, for all the nafkaminas that has. And on the other hand, you have the Rivash, that says that the mitzvah is on the son and the nafkaminas that has. And we also had discussed, until now, the idea that maybe the Kohen really is a crucial part of the mitzvah. So essentially, he concludes, so who's right? Maybe they're all right. Right? That maybe essentially there is a three-part process, and that ideally, we know that under perfect circumstances, this mitzvah takes place with the father giving the money to a Kohen when the son is 30 days old. So maybe there are really, ideally, three different components to the mitzvah, three different players, the son, the father, and the Kohen. And that's the ideal of the mitzvah. When somebody's not able to be there, when there is some kind of breakdown in the process, so then maybe the mitzvah is done in a different way, but ideally you have these three components. This is a little bit evocative of the Haredi position, by which I mean the position of the Haredim, is one of the Rishonim. It's not a political statement. But there is a often commented, there's an often invoked position of the Haredim by the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. That we know that there is an obligation on the Kohen to bless the people. It seems like every day, but for whatever reason, the practice in Chutz La'aretz is that only on Yontif. It's a whole discussion why that is. But strictly speaking, there's a mitzvah of Berachas Kohanim, which seems to address the Kohanim. The Kohanim should bless the people. So the Sefer Haredim has a position that is often quoted, and may also be the position of a few other Rishonim as well, that there's a mitzvah also on the Yisrael. Even though the Kohen has to do all the work, but there is a mitzvah al ha-Yisrael le-Hisparech. The mitzvah on the non-Kohen to receive the bracha, which has some interesting implications. So for example, some note that this seems to be the position of a few other Rishonim as well. For example, Tosfos in a few places, where Tosfos discusses a question of Hesech Hadas by the Tzibor. That we're worried, for example, if let's say the Kohen has a mum on his hands, or he's sticking out his hands, and the people are going to look at that, that maybe there'd be a concern that they will be Messiah Das. So later Sfarim point out, well, what do you mean they'll be Messiah Das? Who cares? It's not their mitzvah anyway. So why does it matter whether they're paying attention or not? So apparently you see from here that not only is it the mitzvah of the Kohen, it's also a mitzvah of Yisrael to participate. The Kajib of a Rav, we mentioned him recently, so the Kajib of a Rav is always creative, so he has a creative suggestion. We mentioned a few minutes ago the difficult fact that we don't do Brechas Kohanim every day in Chutz La'aretz. It seems like from the Torah like we should. So the Rama has the idea that we are concerned that Brechas Kohanim requires Simcha, and in Chutz La'aretz we're depressed. That only in Eretz Yisrael do we have sufficient Simcha that we are able to have Brechas Kohanim every day. So on Yontif, we have an extra dose of Simcha, so that makes us happy enough that we can do Brechas Kohanim. But in Eretz Yisrael, a normal day in Eretz Yisrael is like Yontif in Chutz La'aretz. So the Kajik Lover Rav discusses, okay, that's a nice idea, but is that really enough to get us out of Chiyuv Daraisa, of Brechas Kohanim every day? So he suggests a very creative chiddush. He says that in shul, when we have Chazaras Hashatz for Shacharis, and we have Brechas Kohanim in Davening, so that is the mitzvah of Brechas Kohanim, done through shlichus, that the shliach tzibor performs Brechas Kohanim with that paragraph. So, aye, but what about the fact that the shliach tzibor is not necessarily a Kohen? Don't you have to be a Kohen to carry out the mitzvah even through shlichus? So here he has a double chiddush. He says, first of all, there is a view of the rush, that if you are a part of the process, even if you're not the actual bar chiyuva, then you can actually be a shliach as well. It's a part of it. And Then he says, because of the charedim, that the Yisrael is also a part of the mitzvah, so whoever is davening for the omelet is shaykh the mitzvah of brechas kavodim, and therefore can perform the mitzvah with shlichus, a creative chiddush. Okay, so those are some major points. Maybe on Monday we will say a little bit more about this, maybe just to add, but theoretically we will be moving on to the Talmud Torah Sugya. Tomorrow we have Parsha and also Parsha Sanchodesh to talk about. So we have some major Rambyanim. Just to quickly recap the headlines of what we spoke about today. So we considered further issues about the Shechiyano. Is it indeed the case that the Kohen actually is Chayv in the Shechiyano, that the father is Motzi him? It goes to the question of what the Shechiyano was about in the first place. So we talked about that. We talked about the question of using a Kohenes for Pidgin Haban, and how that was associated with Tosfos on Daf Ches and the various weaknesses when relying on that Tosfos, but even more so, just the question that even if Tosfos is the only view, but the assumption that that would be enough for Pidgin Haban through the Kohenes herself, we discussed how that seems to tie into the questions that we're talking about. And now this question of who the Chiyuv is on, is the Chiyuv really on the father or the son? And a number of indications that it's really on the son, some indications that it's really on the father, other indications that it's really on the Kohen, and as Rosh Lessinger suggests, it could equally be a three-part process, a three-party process, when it's done in the ideal fashion. And we compare that to Birchas Kohenim, where we also find that there may be partners in this process, that the mitzvah is on the Kohen, but according to some Rishonim, most explicitly the Charedim, but possibly others as well, there's also a mitzvah on the Yisrael, lehis barech. Alright, so we will stop there. Who wants to daven for us? Morty, you want to daven for us? Alright, Asher, should we start?